I want to turn to Corinthians. I'll explain the cow in a minute. Second Corinthians. My machine's working slowly. And chapter 3. And I'm reading from the ESV version. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letters of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze on Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, or which was fading, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? Let me read that again. Will not the ministry of the Spirit, shing, boing, hey! Will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent, shing, shing, boing, hey! For if, verse 11, we will finish the reading. But if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, yes, yes. To this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, shing, boing, hey! Let's just take a moment. Ooh, just take a drink. glug, 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 glug. Yes, to this day, verse 15, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, shing, shing, boing, hey! Ooh. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, shing, boing, hey! There is freedom, freedom, freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Ching, ching, boing, hey! Are being transformed into the same image. Wow, wow, wow. From one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and all the people say, there we go. That's for those of you who have a religious disposition. That's to help you make the transition. Jean and I traveled down yesterday, and we drove down from Liverpool, and halfway down I suddenly realized I forgot my props. Meaning, you know, stuff that the Lord has anointing on and he's been using, and one of them was a cow. And but the cow I had a broken leg. It was one of those cows that you massage with, you know, with the round ends, and it was made of wood. And I've been using cymbals now for must be 17 years. I used to prophesy in words, but now I'm prophesying in visual, symbolic stuff that the Lord gives me. And just recently, just in the last 2 or 3 months, the Lord's given me the cow. And I said, Lord, I've been shooting cows, meaning sacred cows. I'm talking in the spirit now. I'm talking about shooting things that we have held sacred, that the anointing was once on but is lifted, but we still held on to it. And the Lord wanted me to shoot these cows, and that was very difficult because their eyes were so big and they looked at me. It was very difficult to shoot the cow. But Jean and I were in July, we were in a place called... what was the name of that place, Jean? Portales in New Mexico. It was 113 degrees Fahrenheit. Really hot. It was a small town. It was one of those towns in New Mexico that if you blinked, you didn't know you'd pass through it. You know, it was just a small town. It had 2 restaurants. And we were with a group from Dallas. And we drove, I think it was a 6-hour drive from Dallas. And we went to Portales, which means portal, right? And I don't know about you, but I've been experiencing, since I came into this anointing, and especially the last few years, I've been experiencing portals. You know, you can be in a meeting and there's an area of the room where you step into something, and it's like you've gone up in a lift. And you're on another level. Well, Portales was that sort of place in the meeting. There were hot spots and lots of angelic activity. Because wherever there's a portal, wherever there's a portal and entry, there's always angelic activity. And, you know, sometimes we get wrapped up in the experience. Do you know what I mean? We get the thrill of it and we're excited about it. And we lose sight of the purpose, you know, the end product. And I realized that, you know, because I was saved into a Baptist church and I was always taught, you know, you don't talk to angels and you really ignore them till you get to heaven. They're there, but, you know, they're not a reality in a sense of your experience because there's this fear of worshiping angels. But since I come into this anointing, I realized that some of us are going to be really surprised when we get to heaven how many times we've had angelic visitations and not recognized it. Hebrews talks about that. It talks about being hospitable because you never know whether you're entertaining angels. But angels are sent to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. That's you and me. To minister to us, to remove blockages, to guide our feet, to direct us. Angelic beings, supernatural angelic beings. And we were in this place called Portellus, and there was lots of angelic activity. And, you know, more so I think in America, the restaurants on every corner, you know, and it's more the culture that you eat out. And we were looking for a place to eat, and there was only two restaurants. And one was a beef restaurant, and the other one was an Italian restaurant. And we'd been to the beef restaurant a couple of times, and we were just driving around. You know, we weren't praying. We weren't in a, you know, in a holy sort of, you know what I mean? You know, just natural, going about everyday. Peter was in that way when he got the vision, when he was on top of the roof. It says he was hungry, and he was thinking about something to eat, and that's when the Lord opened up a whole translation for the church that took them from being just solely Jewish and opening the door for the Gentiles to come in. So we were driving around the town, and the only other place that we could go to was the Italian restaurant, and the name of the Italian restaurant was The Vine, which is very interesting. The Vine. And so I'm not really I don't mind eating Italian food, but it's not my favorite. You know what I mean? I prefer beef, but we've been to the beef place a couple of times, and well, it's the only place in town. Let's go to the Italian restaurant. So we got in there, and along one wall was a bar with bottles of wine. Just, it was like, have you ever had the Lord take something that is natural and almost like it becomes spiritual? Do you know what I mean? It becomes spiritual, and the Lord speaks to you through the vision of the natural. Well, this guy was pouring two glasses for the table behind us, and the people we were with were teetotal. You know, they didn't, you know, and that's the choice, you know. They were teetotal. So we weren't interested in drinking wine, right? But the guy was pouring the two glasses, and I heard the Lord say to me, ask him for the cork. So he took the two glasses to the table behind, and he came up to us, and he said, can I get you a drink? And I said, could I have the cork out of the bottle that you've just poured? Now, when I think about it, at the time, it wasn't crazy, if you understand. It just was a normal thing. The Lord asked me, ask him for the cork, and it just seemed a normal thing to ask. But when I think about it now, he's asking me what drink I want, and I'm saying, can you give me the cork out of the bottle that you just poured wine for the table behind? And he said, no, I can't give you that cork, but I have hundreds of corks in the back, in a box, and you can have one of them. And he went out into the back, and he brought out a container full of corks, wine bottle corks. And I just went in, picked the cork out, and the Lord said, I want you to uncork people. I want you to take the cork and I want you to uncork them, right? Now, to give you some understanding to that, I'd been in France in just south of Lyon, and we had a conference, and there was a guy in the meeting who was a direct descendant of one of the kings of France. And most of you know the history of France, that they beheaded people, right? They got rid of the royal family and they beheaded them, right? But this guy was a direct descendant. And after the meeting, he gave me a corkscrew. And it was made, the handle of the corkscrew was made of the vine. It was from the vine tree, the vine tree. And it had a, you know our wine bottle opener is like, it's got this spiky end. And I was thinking, well, really, I can't go down the prayer line uncorking people just with the bottle opener, because it's got a pointed end. And if you get drunk and you go boink, you know, you could have problems. You could cause problems. So I was looking for a cork, and that was the state I was in. You see, I was looking for the cork for the end of this bottle opener. And now I'm in Portalis, and the Lord says, here, now this is the place to get the cork. I didn't know, but that night, when we did the prayer line, I went, well, actually, they just sat in their seats, and I just went along the pews, and I just, plop, 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 I was uncorking them. With the cork from the restaurant called The Vine. And this often happens to me, Pearl, that I don't know what I'm doing, if you know what I mean. Do you know what I mean? I don't know the reason why I do stuff. I just know that there's a quickening in it, and the Lord is telling me to do it. And I don't always understand at the time what he's doing. So I'm uncorking, not knowing what I'm doing, right? I know that I'm uncorking people to let the wine of the Spirit flow, to let people come into their creativity, because our God is a creative God, and we are his children, and we should take after him, and we should be full of creativity, right? But the problem has been that we've been corked. We've been corked under an old covenant of legalists. And so the Lord does want me to just uncork them, right? And that's, I thought, well, okay, I'm uncorking. Now, I'd been studying Genesis. I'd been studying the life of Abraham. And very, very important, because he's our father of faith. In fact, Jesus in John chapter 8, Jesus' biggest problem was the religious ones. And they always turned up at the meetings. They always sat there to, you know, to make sure that the Lord was doing the right stuff, because they were guardians of the faith. And do you know that the Lord said to them? He told them, when they thought that they were of their father Abraham, he turned to them and said, you are of your father, the devil. Hello. That is not a way to influence people and to win friends. We have this English culture that says no after you, no after you. This culture that tells us to be polite, which is good to be polite, but sometimes it gets in the way. Because the kingdom of God has to be taken by force. He told them, you're not of your father Abraham, you're of your father the devil, because if you were of your father Abraham, you would hear my words and do the works of Abraham. And in Galatians chapter 3, let's turn to it quickly. And just remind me, Jean, to stay on that story, that I don't forget to finish it on Portalis. You see, some people think, oh, ding dong, boing, hey, ho, where are you, Galatians? You're here somewhere. There we go. Just a couple of verses. This is the Apostle Paul writing this to the Galatians. And in the beginning of the chapter, he says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? So we're talking about witchcraft. Witchcraft in the church. Who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Hey! Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected? Hello? By the flesh. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you, hello, and works miracles among you, do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now, let me just come back on this. What really struck me was in this portal, went to another level, right? I'm studying Abraham. And the thing that struck me was this word, blessed. God blessed Abraham. Now, we often hear that word when somebody sneezes. Achoo! God bless you. Or we take it in a concept of feeling good. Well, I've been in a meeting. I was in a meeting tonight, and I was really blessed. But this word blessed is talking about multiplication. It's talking about tangible, something which is tangible, that when it comes on you, everything multiplies. Hello. Now stick with me, because this has really been burning in me, and I've got to release this tonight. And you've got to understand something. This is not just preaching. I'm releasing something into the atmosphere, and we are in major change. We are in major transition as a church, and oh, God help me. Can I just share my heart with you, right? I said to Jean today, do you know, Jean, we've not seen the church in her true glory yet. We've seen something that is dying. A system. It's dying. And I'm not against authority. Oh, well, bro, you're being rebelled. No, I'm not against authority. I believe in authority. I believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe in leadership. I even believe in law, in the sense of the word that John 8 talks about, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And the law is something that's a principle. But our problem is that we've never grasped fully what God wants to do. We've been like people that have been driving down the motorway, and we get out the car when we come to the sign, and we worship the sign. Hello. That's true. That's very prevalent today. We worship the sign. We worship what is manifesting. We could worship the drunkenness. We could worship gold teeth. We could worship the gold dust. But it's only a sign. And it's not the end product. I want the end product tonight for us all. I want the end product. Hello. I mean, studying Abraham. And you know, do you know what struck me? Well, number one, he wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect. He didn't get blessed when he became perfect. He was imperfect when God called him. And the Lord told him, leave your family, leave your relatives, and go to a land I will show you. He didn't even know where he was going. He had no idea where he was going. He just knew that the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to him. And you see, this is the key. It's the key, is to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying and obey. He heard what the Spirit was saying, but he never completely obeyed. He took a long lot with him. And what I love about this is God blessed Abraham even when he wasn't perfect, right? Even when he wasn't solely in the way, God blessed him and he blessed Lot. And the scriptures say the blessing of God came on Lot and on Abraham. Do you realize, church, that you affect your household? Hello? Whoever you come into contact with, you affect. Because if the blessing of God is on you, it affects other people. Abraham and Lot, it says their cattle multiplied. The blessing of God came on them and their cattle multiplied that the land could not contain. Now look at that. Look. Ding, ding, boing, hey! Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a generous God. He's generous. When our kids were young, I cut a melon in half and I got them to count the seeds. How many seeds in a melon, in a watermelon? Do you know how many seeds are in a watermelon, sis? I do. 450 seeds in one watermelon. It's all around us. Romans talks about that. His character, his divine glory is revealed in creation, and he's a God, a generous God, and everything he does is more than enough. More than enough. More than enough. But you look at the church, and what you see is poverty. Hello. Well, bro, are you preaching? Do you mean to say you're preaching word of faith theology? No. I believe the word of faith had a truth, and the Lord gives truth to different parts of the body. I'm not preaching that. I'm preaching kingdom. Kingdom. I'm preaching covenant. Covenant. Because the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, I will make you a blessing to the nations. Now, how can you bless the nations if you're in need yourself? How can you bless the nations? How can you save somebody if your own boat is sinking? This really grasped hold of me because I really believe we are in transition. And if you read the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 28, it's a verse that we quote and lots of Pentecostals quote it, and it's the key verse for this realm that we're in, this spirit realm that we're in, the speaking in tongues, the moving in the gifts of the Spirit. It's the key verse. After this, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, right? That's a verse we quote. But verse 28 says, after this, I will pour out my Spirit. And he's talking about the prophet Then you have to then go back to verse 20, and the prophet begins to prophesy what's going to take place before the outpouring of the Spirit. And I believe it's a principle. Before every move of the Spirit, before every major change of what God wants to do and bring us into new seasons and new levels, there's always something that takes place before. Before the children of Israel came out of Exodus, out of Egypt, it says they spoiled the Egyptians and they came out loaded. Ah, blessing of God. So when I say now to somebody, God bless you, I'm not meaning God make you feel good. I'm saying make God's Spirit come upon you. May everything you do prosper. Now listen, here's the difference. Here's the key. The key is he wants to bless us to make us a blessing. That's the key. That's the key. See, where some people have got it wrong when the word of faith came in and were bringing a truth out was that it was me. Bless me, give me. No, I believe God wants a generation that will love the king and the kingdom. Hello, the government of God in our midst. That will love the king and the kingdom. And offerings won't be a painful time, bro. Because that's the other area that we ding-dong, bind, and hate, and hold. Let's get the offering out the way. The offering really is your opportunity to sow. It's in Genesis chapter 8. Well, bro, that's legalistic. No, it's way before Moses. When the Lord did a change in the season and destroyed a whole generations and saved one family, when Noah came out of that ark, he built an altar, and it says a sweet-smelling savor went up to the Lord. And the Lord said, while the earth remains, cold and heat, summer and winter, seed time and harvest. And to prove it, I'll put something in the sky. Hello! Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I dream of. Ooh. It's a rainbow. It's a sign. Hey! Hey! I've been so excited about this. I've been so excited. Hey! Listen, in that restaurant in Portellis, and I got the cork, and I uncorked people, right? Usually somebody else comes up to me and tells me what it means. I never usually understand what I'm doing, but somebody came up to me and they Googled. There was something on the side of the cork that I never noticed. And it said, am I right on, help me out here, Gene, Saint, what was the name on that, Saint Clair Winery. So the guy Googled Saint Clair, but you've got to understand something, that when I was pastoring, years before I got drunk, when I was pastoring, there was a guy that came to our church, and he was part of Reinhard Bonnke's team, and he was in Liverpool for the weekend, and the church he was ministering at only had a Sunday morning service, and he asked, is there a church that has an evening service? And the pastor said to him, there's Bethesda, but they cast out devils. Right? In other words, you know, they're a little bit extreme. And he said, that's the church I want to go to. And he came. And after the meeting, he came up to me. And he said, John, God wants to do something big. And I mean big. And he went out the door. And he came back in. And he said, I see you pushing ancient walls. Ancient walls. I see you pushing ancient walls. Well, you know, sometimes you get a prophecy, it doesn't mean anything, right? You're looking for the fulfillment of it the same day or tomorrow. But oftentimes, God's fulfillment on prophecies depend on a time and a season, right? For you to get the understanding. Well, 17 years, 20 years later, I got the understanding of what pushing the ancient walls were, and it was all in the cork. Saint Clare. And I'm Protestant. I believe we're all saints. You understand? I'm Protestant, but now I use holy water. It's against my religion. He Googled St. Clare and found out that she was an 11th century saint, a follower of St. Francis. Now, you've got to understand something. In Toronto, when we did this conference called Another Drink, all the speakers were drunk, right? Nobody took notes. It was a green event. Save the trees. Nobody took notes because the speakers couldn't speak. And the anointing of God was coming on stuff. Like I had two, what the Americans call yardsticks. Is that right, Steve? Is it yardsticks? Yeah. Measuring rods. Day glow green, day glow orange. And all I could do was wave them. That's all I could do, wave them. And then in Toronto, the move of God then was round the world. It was the place to be, right? I stand over the pulpit, and I heard these words come out of my mouth as I plunged the sticks down the front of the pulpit. I said, I am not drunk as you suppose. I'm here to measure you. Hello. Hello. Then I'm playing them like a violin because I always wanted to play music. I always wanted to play piano. Always wanted to play. I love the violin. I wanted to play. But then people told me it took 10 years to learn to play the piano properly. And I thought to myself, I don't have enough time. And the Lord said, you can play a violin. And that's what I was doing in the spirit. I was playing to the Lord with two sticks. But I didn't know that St. Francis used to go into the woods and pick up two twigs and used to play them to the Lord. I didn't know that. 11th century, right? 11th century. And it was an Episcopalian priest that told me that, right? But now I am with the cork, and it's Saint Clare. Saint Clare. Well, who is Saint Clare? Well, she's an 11th century saint. One of the first followers of St. Francis. And she came from a noble family in Italy. She was a wealthy woman, and she gave it all up and took a vow of poverty. Cut her hair short, wore a simple brown garment, and took a vow of poverty. And I said, Lord, why am I uncorking these people with a St. Clair cork? And the Lord said, John, you are uncorking them because they have been bound in a religious system since the 11th century where the mindset is, ching, ching, boy, hey! The mindset is, the more poor you are, the more holy you are. Hello. Pop. 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 Hello. Listen, listen. I'm going after this with all my heart. I'm not talking about the preacher. I'm going after this truth with all my heart. Because, listen, church, you can have the biggest vision, the biggest dream, but if you don't have release of finance, hello? If you don't have release of the finances, you can do nothing. Nothing. And that's where the devil has got the grip, right? And where the grip is in a lot of churches is it's shing, 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 boing, hey, hey, ho, it's idolatry of money. And here's where you can go wrong, because you see that and you say, I don't want to have anything to do with that. No, it's the idolatry. It's the love of money. Well, if we have this preacher in, he could ruin the program. And then where are we going to get our money from? We may lose the best givers. It's the axe. The axe. The axe. Somebody said to me last night, yes, I heard you were mad. Yes, I'm crazy. I'm crazy because it's a John the Baptist anointing, right? It's a John the Baptist anointing, and John the Baptist cried out, the axe is laid to the root. It's laid to the root, and God wants to do something big in our time. A lot of people don't understand, you know. We get invited to meetings for parties. No, that's the mindset. We'll invite John and Jean for a party. We'll have a party tonight. No, I am not drunk as you suppose. Under all this, what seems frivolity is a very serious word. The axe is laid to the root. Now listen, listen. If we are children of Abraham, then we have rights. We have an inheritance. I was talking to the Lord about the multiplying of cattle, and I said, Lord, I have no cattle. And even if I did, just one cow in the back garden, I know I wouldn't need a lawnmower. But just one cow in the bottom of the garden, I wouldn't have room for you to multiply the cows. And he spoke to me. You see, God is childlike. Hello, that's another area where we miss it. I've noticed all the things that God gives me to use are toys. This thing we're doing next year is a joy tour based on Toy Story. And one of the pastor's names is Woody. From America, coming over next year. From America, Woody, and I'm Buzz. How can you bless my cows? I don't have cows. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, John. And at that time I had a cow sitting on the shelf. Not a real cow, but a wooden cow, like, you know, that one I told you about that's broke its leg. He was sitting in my office on the shelf. Somebody gave him to me 2 years ago. And I didn't feel anything for him. You know, that's nice. It's a nice cow. I'll keep him on the shelf. But just this year, the Lord unlocks something. Because this is 2013, which is an unlucky number, right? Stick with me. I'm rambling a bit, but I want to get there. It's 2013. It's the number 10 and the number 3. I said, oh God, this is an unlucky year. He said, John, I am a God, because this is part of the blessing of Abraham, that turns curses to blessing. Hello, ho, bro, you don't know the problems I've seen. Since I've got into this move, I've been so persecuted. It's a blessing, because every curse spoken against you, God turns to blessing. He said, 2013 is a good year, John. This is a year of completion and divine intervention. That's right, I believe you can't just have a revival meeting. You know, I know you have lots of them in America, but you can't just say we're going to have a true revival meeting. It's got to be God ordained, God intervening. But this is a year of completion. The number 10 is completion, which is actually the word we use for tithe. It's a year of completion and a year of divine intervention of angelic activity to help you complete stuff that's been left uncompleted for years. 2013 is a year of completion. Hello. Hey. Listen, I believe God wants to break. I believe he wants to break this curse of debt. I don't have room for cows. How can you bless my cattle? And then the anointing came on that cow at home. This is a different one. But as you see, he's got love hearts all over him. And he's a money box. I was kicking myself because I forgot the cow. And then today, I don't even know how we brought the subject up, but today, don't know how we brought the subject up, but somehow the mention of a cow. I've got a cow in my kitchen. Oh, can I borrow it? Isn't he nice? He's looking at you. He said, John, I'll give you a cash cow. forgive me for shouting, because I'm speaking to something over your heads now, and I have to declare it, I have to proclaim it, and I can't say it in a gentle voice. I have to speak it into the heavenlies. I want to give my people, hey ye, hey ye, hey ye. I want to bring them out of poverty. We haven't got enough time tonight. We don't have enough time. It's because it's a complex thing. You know what I mean, bro? There's lots of stuff involved. And you know, as Gene was, no, I know I couldn't even have had 2 days. I couldn't explain everything. I want to give my people cash cows. Well, God, I've been shooting them. I've been calling them holy cows. And he said, no, John, no. They were sacred cows. There's a difference. A holy cow is when the anointing comes on something. A sacred cow is something you hold precious that maybe has no anointing on it, perhaps religious, and it stopped you entering in. But a holy cow is something from God. He says, I want to give my people cash. Well, you often hear people get up and say, well, it's not just about money. Well, it is about money. Hello, let's hit the nail on the head. But you see, there has to be transition. There has to be a mindset change. You see, most mindsets, we were in a church, and I will not mention the name, we were just visiting, and we were amazed at the offering. And I'm not talking about big offering. People just putting pennies in. Shocked. Leftovers. I want to give my people cash cows. Now, Gene said something to me. She's very wise. I have to say that to stay in her good books, you know. Right? I may be the head, but she's the neck. I was declaring this somewhere, and Gene said to me, you know, John, you can't pray that over everybody. Meaning, there has to be a realignment. You understand? You can't pray for somebody in debt if they're not honoring the Lord with their finances, with whatever the Lord has put into their hands. Well, bro, I can't survive. Well, listen, you're prophesying. You're prophesying in your giving. You're prophesying in your sowing that God is your provider, not your job. He's your provider. He provided the job. That's the means it's coming through, but that could change. That can change, but as long as God is your provider, he'll open up another door to provide. But you have to realign. You understand? You understand that we are coming into something that we've already started, that God wants to do something big in our midst, and he wants a generous people that take after him in his image. What is a cash cow? The first question I asked. It's a business term. It's a business term for a company. A cash cow. Oh, God, help me explain this. But see, look, it's a cow. First of all, it's a cow. See, it gives milk. And let's say, for instance, you spend £100 to buy one cow, and all it does is eat grass, right? Low maintenance. And it gives milk, which incidentally the Lord said, I'm bringing you into a land of milk and honey, right? But that's another story, right? It gives milk for the rest of its life. Low maintenance. In other words, God wants to give creative ideas. We're coming into this. See, the bottom line of everything we're doing, Andrew, I have to call you Andrew, right? Matthew Andrew. The bottom line of what we're doing, really, and I've been trying to figure this out in my own, for my own job description. Because people ask you, what do you do? And usually on the plane, if you say, I'm a pastor, you could be having a good conversation, and the minute you say you're a pastor, conversation closes. And I understand why. Well, brother, being Christian. No, no. It's what the church projects. I said, God, there's got to be another word for it. So one day when I was sitting on a plane, and he was a pilot actually, he asked me, he was flying somewhere, he wasn't flying the plane because I wasn't sitting in the cockpit, but he asked me, what do you do? And I said, I'm a wine taster. And his face lit up. And I'm thinking, no, Lord, I've got to have another phrase, but it's something to do with releasing creativity. Because we're serving a creative God, and the Lord wants to give creative ideas. Shing, shing, boing, hey! To release finance. Now listen. I want to bless you so that you can become a blessing. Yeah? That's the key. Bless me, Lord, and don't let it stick. Don't let it stick. Don't let me worship the money. Don't let me worship the houses, the land you give me. Come on, you got to start thinking on a higher level. Some of you have been thinking on, let me just get by. I want to give creative ideas that will create wealth. Now, here's the strange thing. I'm trying to finish, but here's the strange thing. I didn't realize this, but everything we've done, really, Gene, has been prophetic. Not pathetic, but prophetic. Even from our early days, everything we've done, when I had the church and I wasn't drunk, right? We did a project that was really, the bottom line was to create wealth. Then I got drunk and lost it all. Lost the church. Lost everything. But now the Lord said, I'm giving it you back. I'm giving it you back. And I want you to open up the gates. Release the finance. Get my people ready. Because that's part of the prophetic. Part of the prophetic isn't just to make you feel good. Part of the prophetic is prepare. Prepare, 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 prepare! God is on the move! Shing boing! Realign! Shing boing! Just quickly, John, quickly. Quickly, quickly, quick. Quickly. quickly. This whole debate about tithing.
Although it's legalistic and ding dong, I'm free now. People always go very quiet when you talk about money, bro. It can sober up the most wild, drunk crowd. Yeah.
The axe has got to be laid to the root. The God of Mammon. Well, is tithing legalistic? Yes, it can be.
If you're tithing legalistically because you have to and don't understand the revelation, then it's legalism. But if you understand the revelation, and if you do a study on the number 10, if you just do what they call Bible numbers, numeric Bible numbers, because God is a God of numbers, right? And the number 10, and very interesting, when he brought them out of Egypt, it was the 10th plague that brought them out. But you see, most people, only 20% of people are tithing. Hello. And how come the Mormons own all the hotels? Hello. Because they understand the principle. They understand the divine law. And that's when Jacob had his vision before Moses. He said to God, if you bring me back, I'll give you a tenth of everything you give me. He's prophesying. But most of us are giving our need. Well, there's a need in the church, and Brother John needs to get back to Liverpool. It's true. They're giving out of need. Well, we have a need for this. Well, we have a need to meet this budget. No, no, no. You've got to get a whole new mindset and understand what that number 10 is. And you make a declaration to God, Lord, I am not going to waste my offering. Hello. Well, what do you mean waste it? I mean, well, I just stick it in the bucket because that's required of me. No, it's my seed. It's my seed. It's God's principle. You are here because of a seed that was sown. And then a baby comes out of it. Everything comes out of a seed. Now, it's important I mention that because no matter how many times we have impartation for cow anointing, if you're not truly aligned, you can't receive it. Come on. Come on, come on. Come on. Come up higher. Come up higher. Come up higher. Children of Abraham. Children of Abraham. It's your inheritance. It's your inheritance. It's your inheritance. Well, bro, it's for the Israelites. It's for the Jews. No, no. We are children of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3. Those who hear the Spirit and act by faith are the children of Abraham. And part of the blessing of Abraham is multiplication, is prosperity on your hands, that we don't have to go out and preach the 4 points and, well, come on, get saved, you miserable sinners. People will want what you've got. How come you're prospering in a time of recession? What is the secret? Moo.
I'm excited about this. I'm
I'm excited about it. I'm excited because I was telling Pearl, we were talking about, and I'm trying to close, Billy, I'm trying to close. This is your pilot speaking. Your pilot has a drink problem. Please fasten your seatbelts. I can see the runway! But I've got double vision. I was talking to Pearl today. We're talking about essential oils. I got into essential oils about 2 years ago. I always used to think it was New Age. Do you know what I mean? That was my mindset. That's New Age. But what happened in Dallas, I was praying over a prayer line, and the lady had asked me, what are you going to do tonight? And I said, I don't know, but we'll see when we get to the end of the message. And I heard the Lord say, ask her for lemons. And she said, I've got no lemons. I've got no lemons. And then she said, oh, I've got 2 pieces of lemon from a, what you call in America, soda drink. Yeah, we call it pop. I've got 2 pieces of lemon in pop. I said, yeah, okay, I'll have them. And I lined them up and I prayed. I put the 2 pieces of lemon behind their ears and prayed over them. I didn't know what I was doing until somebody wrote to me from who had a business selling essential oils, and she said, do you realize what lemon does? It helps you focus. And that's how I came into essential oils. I came in drunk. Out of doing something that seemed crazy. But that's another story. That's another story. But the cows. Cash cows. Cash cows. Have I made myself clear, Gene? Did I get the point across tonight? I don't want to preach something that is, oh, lay hands on you and everybody prosper without you fulfill the conditions, if you understand. Love the kingdom. Love the king. Ask God to bless you so that you can give. And if you don't have it at the moment, start to give in the small amounts, because if you're not giving while you don't have it, you won't give when you get it. Because it will control you. I preached this in a church in Brazil. And on my second trip back, Donardi, the apostle, said to me, John, you know that church that you preached in? They've had a release of finance. They were renting, now they're buying. Now they're buying the building. Now they're buying the building. And one of them was a businessman that came in, got saved, and said to God, you know, Lord, you've been so good to me. I want to give something back. And he said, Lord, I'll give you 50% of everything the business owns. And then he changed his mind and said 51%. So that the Lord has the control. Yeah. Yeah. Now, here's the condition tonight. You've not got to hold on to it. Just start with the 10%. Honor the Lord with the 10%. Yeah. Oh, sorry, sis. Shing. You got the double blessing with the Jewish and the Christian connection, bro. You got the double ding dongs, boings and hays and hoes. Woo! Okay, let's have everybody else out and let's form the shape of a bunch of grapes. Come right in from the side. You've got to be like a bunch of grapes. grapes. Not a line. See, you're used to standing in lines. You've got to get like a bunch. Two more people in the front. Come right in, right in, right in. No gaps, no gaps. You've got to fill the gaps. Okay. I'm going to make a declaration over you, okay? Numbers chapter 6, God said to Moses, this is how I want you to bless the people. And remember that word blessing is multiplication, right? This is how I want you to bless the people. You shall speak over them, right? That's the release, right? I want you to begin to sway now. Sway. You're prophesying. Now come in tight so that nobody can fall. Sway. Sway. Okay, you're prophesying. You're prophesying the breath of the Spirit on the land. So let's have a big sway now because we want a nice big one. Oh. Whoa. Keep swaying. I'm going to find a nice blessing for you. Ding dong, merrily on high. In heaven the bells are ringing. Okay. Let me find a declaration that's suitable. La sway, la 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 la. Okay, I want you to say this after me, okay? Sway, sway, sway. Okay, now speak it out loud. Speak it from your belly. Speak it with conviction. The Lord gives rain to my land in its season.
The Lord gives rain to my land in its season.
Hey!
Yeah!
Sway!
Yeah!
Oh. And he blesses. Now you've got to lift your hands for this if you can. Okay, you lift them to God. And you're declaring, right? Because this is how the Lord created everything we see. It was by the word of his mouth, okay? Okay, ching, ching, boing, hey! He blesses all the work of my hands. Okay, twiddle those fingers. Wave them. Yeah. I receive, Lord. I receive. I promise to be faithful. Ding dong. Ding dong. Whoa. Okay. Okay. Some of you may feel, well, I'm not in that place yet, but you're declaring it, okay? You're declaring it. Every area of my life,
is saturated
in God's blessing and anointing.
God's blessing and anointing.
Say that again.
Every area of my life is saturated
with his blessing. And anointing. Sway. Listen. The early and the latter rain. Ching, ching, boing, hey! Never lets me down.
Never lets me down.
I gather my harvest.
first. Without fail. And my bonds always remain full. For those of you that think that peas grow in cans, we are now going cans, tin cans, you know, off the shelf. We're going to change that word barns to bank accounts. Yeah, that is more for our civilization. Okay. Lord, we're praying now. Lord, you are the God of more than enough. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Or Jacob and Isaac. I am a child of Abraham. See these hands, Lord? Prosper. Prosper the work of my hands. Let my bank account always be in the black. With more to spare. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.